It's a pleasure finally to get here. And thank you all for coming out and for recovering from what we couldn't do and then coming back to do it one more time. My only requirement was that we keep the readings the same. So one of the things I got to do as Archbishop, I had this title in the Anglican Church of Canada, that's where I was elected bishop initially, was to preside at the election of all the bishops who were elected in British Columbia. So what happened at the electing convention here was just one more of those. It was my fifth. The election I remember best was among a people who had been through a time in which the diocese had gone from being a freestanding entity like the Diocese of Olympia to something called an association of parishes, which is sort of a less stable, less resourced kind of confederation of congregations. They had made this change because that diocese and its bishop had made the difficult and I would say inspiring decision to turn over all their assets to local indigenous peoples as a part of the Truth and Reconciliation Movement in Canada. They gave it all away. Now, local indigenous people didn't want it all, to tell you the truth. They didn't want all the churches, so the church buildings remain, but the financial assets went to local indigenous people. One of the officers at the convention, it's called a synod in the Anglican Church of Canada, that was at the head table, you know, we have head tables in convention. After the diocese together made that difficult decision, said the following over the microphone after the decision was made. He said, "Well, I guess now we're toast." And indeed, they did seem to be toast at that moment. They felt that way, that they were relinquishing it all. Well, fast forward to some years later, after a slow rebuilding process as an association of parishes, I was invited back to preside at the election of their new bishop. So things had gotten better. They'd figured it out. They had a teeny tiny budget. Things had gotten better. As I walked among synod delegates from the congregations, both white and indigenous, so a third of those congregations were indigenous congregations, who had come together to elect their very own bishop after this, I thought to myself, what in the world enabled this group of clergy and laity to come together and to sustain themselves during this long, slow slog of rebuilding? And then I saw it. Pinned to each of the delegates' shirt was a round button that had this shape on it. I don't know if you can tell what this is. It's a, no, close. I'll tell you what it is in a minute. Under that shape were written these words, "We're not toast, we're living bread." Snap. This was a, it's a little outline of a loaf of a piece of bread. We're not toast, we're living bread. In John's gospel for today, Jesus has just fed thousands of hungry people with a few loaves of bread and a couple of fish. Based on this astonishing event, people have taken notice of him, as you might expect, and are questioning him about who he is and what he has to offer them. What it reminds them of, because they're remembering back in their history as the people of God, the people of Israel, what it reminds them of is the story of Moses who provided bread in the wilderness for people who were hungry and needed something to eat. Is that who Jesus is? They ask themselves. It's like Moses come again and provide food for them out in the wilderness? Jesus, of course, rejects this interpretation. He's not Moses. He's not come to offer people the kind of a meal that Moses gave them in the wilderness, a meal that would fill them up for a moment until the next hunger pangs came along. Rather, in the miraculous feeding, Jesus is enacting something different, the feeding of their souls. Something about the feeding of their souls. And about the feeding of their souls, Jesus is making a point similar to what was on one of those buttons I mentioned. Jesus is not toast. He's not toast. He's living bread. Jesus is not something consumed and then it's gone. Jesus is not something used up, kind of kaput. He's a bread that the soul can feed on over and over again. He is the bread of life. What can he mean by this? This is how I see it. In Jesus, God is no longer sending emissaries or representatives to exhort or encourage human beings to live in loving and healthy relationships with each other, with themselves, with God. Instead, God is doing a more dramatic and riskier thing. God is living our lives, all of our lives, all the sweetness and bitterness of our lives. In living our lives, God both secures our dignity. You know, God becomes a human being means human beings can become godlike. We are seen as having that potential and that worth. God both secures our dignity and worth, and I would say secures the dignity and worth of creation itself. Jesus is an earthed being, is God earthed. This new move on God's part means that God has closed the gap between God's very self and humanity. Another way to say this is that God has closed the gap between this idea of heaven and earth. And so in our many hungers for food, for respect, for justice, the bread of life is there in Christ. In our joys, the joys of celebration and accomplishments and the everyday joys of life, the bread of life is there. In our sorrows, our losses, our disappointments, our failures, the bread of life better be there. In the earth's very travails, in natural disasters, in climate change, the bread of life is there. In those moments when we believe we or others or the world itself are toast, the bread of life, living bread, is there. It is a bread that gives us the energy and encouragement to bridge the gap between ourselves and others over and over again. It is bread that feeds our ability to hold our hope for a better world when others would give up. It is bread that sustains us as we seek to show up as the Good Samaritans. You have the best name that the world needs. To show up as the Good Samaritans that the world needs. Which brings me to you. Tonight, we're finally and officially going to inaugurate the new and mutual ministry of this parish, a ministry in which your new wish rector, Father Chris McPeak, and you, the people of Good Samaritan, will be partners. While you are already very, very busy with liturgies and programming and preschool and good things you do in the community, while you will always be very, very busy, remember to feed on the bread of life that sits at the center of who you are and all you do. While you will make your very good mistakes along the way, remember to return to and feed on the bread of life that sits at the center of who you are and what you do. In the ancient world, bread was not a side dish. You know, something that arrived ahead of time for you to nibble on while you wait for the main thing to come. Bread was also not something that sat to the side of other dishes as accompaniment to them. Rather, bread, often made of barley, sometimes made of wheat if you were lucky, was the main event the main dish with meat or olives or other food serving as condiments off to the side. This astonished me when I learned it. It's kind of how I roll, actually. But for them, it was the main thing. What this meant was that when bread ran out, life ran out. Bread was central and essential. The lack of it signaled that you were on a journey toward famine or starvation. That's how important bread was to Jesus and to the people of the time. It's why Jesus uses the image of bread to talk about his significance, and it's why, along with wine, which was considered a food at the time, bread was what he drew on as he revealed the meal that was at the center of the Christian life. And so, Good Samaritans and Father Chris, do wonderful things together. Go through important things together, but in and through it all, keep remembering to come back and feed on the real thing, the bedrock conviction that God has dwelt among us, and that no matter what, God has not abandoned us to the power of anything that would rob us or others of dignity or agency. God has not abandoned us to anything that would rob us of dignity, our dignity, others' dignity, or agency. God has done these things, and out of this, God asks us to be bread, living bread for the life of the world.